Thank you, Joanne. And I think you need to do that more often. Yes. You need to share that with us more often. So thank you. That was really beautiful. I love Bach. So now I get to introduce our speaker, who is our very own Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Well, one thing, I've learned to depend on Spirit so much. And praise God, when I get up in the morning, I usually get a hint of what the sermon topic is supposed to be normally. And I did this morning. And I got the thought, you were supposed to talk about Jesus. In a way, in a metaphysical way. So many people I know have said, why do you have a picture of Jesus here? And granted, why don't we have a picture of everybody here? That we, you know, there's lots of prophets, lots of people, that's fine. In spiritualism and in my religion and in my communication with my guides and teachers, including Virginia's guide and teachers who would give us class, they explained that Jesus was so far the greatest medium that ever has been on the face of this earth. And someone of his consciousness, awareness, his power, when as each person comes, which is usually every 2,000 years, each person that comes to allow us to have to grow an understanding in a way of consciousness that we have perhaps not understood before, with each age they come with greater power. Now, do I have the ability to look now at what his life was like metaphysically and say, oh, it's glorious. However, at one time, when I was sitting in churches and I was told what was in the Bible, I rebelled. I didn't hear any love. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything concrete. I heard a story. And at 12, I told my Sunday school teacher, until we have something concrete, I don't believe in any of this. And God bless her heart, she went home crying. I'm really sorry about that. But in looking back, I want to tell you, there is a journey of understanding that we all take. Since I have been in metaphysics, I can pick up the Bible, and I can read it, and I can understand through interpretation how I can feed my soul today. I can read it in a way and an understanding in the parables that really means something to me. Well, I picked up one of my favorite books this morning, Interpretation of the Bible. And I opened it up, and there was a little bookmark in there. I don't know where it came from, but I thought, oh, I'm going to read there. And there was a story about when the disciples were in the boat and the winds came, and Jesus got in the boat with him. Now, you see, metaphysically and understanding, the disciples were afraid. And Jesus lowered his consciousness to be on their level, to get into that boat, to be able to say a parable, to talk to them about what was going on. Now, the wind, we say metaphysically, is symbolic of the soul. So, and then the sea is metaphysically, we talk about, that's interpreted as our physical form. It's something physical. So the story is that the disciples were worried. And they couldn't get to that state of consciousness where everything was going to be all right, where they could see beyond their troubles, where they could get into that state of perfect faith based on truth. Now, he went on to calm the waters and to walk on the water. And when he did, the story goes on to say, they understood him. They accepted him truly for the first time and went about bringing people, and he saved them from, they brought them back to life from their death. Well, death is not a physical death. It's a physical death where we don't know who we are, where we're not conscious in that Christ consciousness. We're not aware that we're more. Many times Jesus said, don't you know that the same Father lives in you that lives in me? Don't you know that you're God's? Don't you know that heaven's not up there? Heaven's within. Don't you know? Listen. What he was trying to tell the disciples metaphysically was, you have problems in a physical, in within your physical world. And they stay harbored within your consciousness because you think about them all the time. You can't get away from them. You're not thinking about them. In part of the Bible where it says, the lilies of the field have no worries. They just live and they turn their heads toward the sun and they have their being knowing they're going to be fed and the rain is going to be there. He was trying to explain to them, when you get out of that fear, you can live who you're truly meant to be. Now, you've heard me talk against social media. Now that I've blocked everybody negative, I think it's such a great place. And I have lots of metaphysical people posting things, and many times I repost. And I think there was one in there that said, we need to go about forgetting the things that we have accumulated or something similar or learned so that we can go about in the about enjoying the life we're meant to have. Now, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing because we all, I think, can identify with worry. Now, we're told that we're living this life as a caterpillar, and someday we're going to spring up and be a butterfly and be on the other side of life. That's not what metaphysics is all about. That's not even what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about when you can raise your consciousness and let go of the worry, and become one with that beautiful, pure love, that one with that energy that lives within your heart center, then you can attain that in this lifetime, and that's what's meant for us. It's attainable. It's simply, most of all, letting go of the worry and understanding that we're something more. But I'm going to tell you what the human mind does, or the ego. I know every one of us have loved this story because we all have said it. when we tell about all our discontents and all our worries and all our woes and everything that's gone wrong. It's like, oh, guess what happened now? You know, we've done that our whole life. This and this and this and this and this. Every time we do that, I don't know what kind of fulfillment we get out of it. It's like we've slain the giant for a moment or something. But every time we do this, we kind of focus on those kind of things. And it's true. Life is not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy because we've learned that it's good to worry. It's good to be responsible. It's good to read the good book and interpret it like you were taught, that you're not worth much until you can give your life in the way that they say you should give it because Jesus came and died for you, and shame on you. Anything that implies guilt and shame, everybody runs from that, don't they? Is that in the Bible? What I have just told you, some of the quotes in the Bible are literal. Don't you know that the wonder lives within you, that the kingdom of heaven is inside? It's not out there. And don't you know that the only time we find it is when we're in that caterpillar stage and we've gnawed and we've chewed on all those negative things? We've all done it, haven't we, in some way? Some people, you know, that we do it in all kinds of ways. Sometimes, I know my brother used to, well, and it started with the doctor. If you didn't cry when you went to the doctor's office, you got an ice cream cone. If you were with my brother and you were depressed, let's go get a banana split. That'll make everything all right. Well, you know, the thing is, so it's finding something else. It's substitution. I had something very grave happen in my life, and I went to see a dear friend who's very metaphysical, and she said, we're not going to talk about that. Let's go see Mama Mia. You need to get out of that vibration. You need to think about something wonderful. You need to think about the fun in life and neutralize what you just told me. Because if you don't, you're going to be creating more of this. Do you know what a wonderful thing she did for me? And there we are laughing. Ta-ta-ta, Mamma Mia, I love those songs. I felt like I was Italian, even though I don't think I've got a drop in me. But you know, life is meant to be understood and looked at and analyzed without guilt and shame until we can discover and find what is our path. What is it that we can follow? Where do we find the inspiration where we say we have that God consciousness? When I started going to class and I started listening to Spirit, I got a letter from my aunt who lived in Chicago. And her son was a professor and a musician at Moody Bible Institute up there or something, you know, very fundamentalist. And she found out what my belief was. And she told me, she said, your dad would roll over in his grave if he knew what you were doing. And I felt really kind of bad about that because I didn't know how to answer her. Well, the next time I had a direct voice, my father came out, and you tell her through the vibration of what she calls hell, you found God. And you found God in an energetic source that you did not think was possible. And you found love in a way that you didn't know was possible. And the most amazing thing, your dad, her brother, was right there too. I didn't say that. I knew she couldn't take it. I respected her, but it satisfied me. It satisfied me. We can never argue someone else. But it seems like in life, for a long time, before we have the courage to step out and look within, because it really is looking within, we've been told it's kind of dirty in there, so we don't want to. But it's that beautiful gem of understanding. There isn't anything that we need to hide. That there's beauty in there. We've learned from all of our discontents that didn't work. And most of all, we have learned that we have been told that death is a conclusion. And in reality, it's only a beginning. It's just a beginning. We're just here temporarily. But we can earn our wings while we're here. And we, in some ways, when we outgrow some of those old beliefs about ourselves, it's like that part of us, right then when we really do, that part within us dies on this side. So we can renew a new self, a new beginning of discovery. There was a song that used to, I don't remember, I used to watch TV church when I didn't go to church. There was a beautiful song, I can't remember, A Day of Discovery. And it was talking about a beautiful day of discovery when you find that fountain of youth within. There was another one of when there was, there's a lot of songs that they sing in churches that are really metaphysical if you really listen. It was a song about heaven. And when this person woke up at the end of the song and discovered it was home. That's what the truth is right now. When you discover the heaven within you, that's when you feel at home within yourself. That's home. That's home for you. And each of us have a different path to get there, even though we're the same. And I will tell you that there is a belief that we're supposed to suffer. Well, through suffering, we find the light. So there's good from that. But we can outgrow that need when we understand we don't have to. We don't have to. You know, I have learned a lot metaphysically about illness that I've acquired through the years and different things. And only my husband and my daughter really truly do know how ill I truly was, never to get better. And I look back and I read about health. I read about things. And I read just recently that when you have problems with your lungs, which was my biggie, it's the lack of ability to receive life. Now, I was in a situation. I have to be honest. I did not have the ability to receive life at that time because I was in a situation I didn't want to be in. But the same article said, when you begin to understand, when you begin to believe that there's something more, then that blood system allows that life to flow and things change. Now, in looking at each individual life ourselves, not someone else looking, and when you've been in it as long as I have, and you read something that rings truth to you, and you look at your own life, you have to say, that was true for me at that time. Now, also Spirit said, okay, I used to, when we get in this spirituality movement, we want to get there yesterday. We don't even want it tomorrow. We want it yesterday. Well, that's not the way it goes. And that's not the way it grows. Because all of these things, it takes a while of understanding and retraining and discovering that beautiful life within yourself. Each little step. It takes a while. And when you begin to look back, you discover, oh, I don't have bad days anymore, not like I used to. You know, we all have ups and downs, and we go to the flow of life and the waves of life and this kind of thing. But it's always, always for me, because I forgot. I forgot momentarily. I don't know if I need signs all over my house. You know, maybe we all do. But when we have family, or we have lives, we have jobs, we have things, momentarily, when we see something, especially if you're empathic, you know, we can just carry on somebody's problems right there and walk out the door with them before we have known that. We can walk right out with someone else's negativity or emotions without understanding it. It's realizing, let's don't forget who we are. We're worth more than suffering. Let's try to emulate those lilies of the field and just live with that flow of life, of knowing that everything's going to be all right, no matter what. We, as material-minded people, want to be in control of everything. We don't like to step out on an invisible step. Okay? We might be telling God unconsciously, okay, God, I'm going to take this step, but I want to know where it's going to lead me. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's living that perfect faith and that perfect truth of knowing no matter what the problem, there will be an answer. No matter what it is, the answer will be there for you in that perfect light. It was not so long ago. You know, we all took care of Reverend Doris. And she had a mortgage on her house, and she was losing her ability to function in all ways. And we knew we needed help. And you see here, I'm going to tell you the kind of doubts we get. This was new for us. And I'm thinking, there's not enough money for us to tackle all this. There's not enough money to get the house in saleable shape for us to be able to do that. Now, that's a good wrong thinking example. That's a great wrong thinking example. Sometimes when we get caught up in the world and we are faced with something brand new, we're just like Chicken Little. Oh, look at here, all the disaster again. And you get through that. We have to learn. When it seems impossible is when you give up. Now, I want to give up with the worry I'm talking about. I want to tell you something. Reverend Doris made the transition. She wanted to be flown to Indiana to pass away. I mean, to be buried with her family. We knew her insurance probably wouldn't pay for all that. And we're thinking negatively. But you know what? Every single thing from the first to the last was handled. She is buried by her brother, her mother, and her father like her wishes were. Her home is sold. Everything was taken care of when we thought it looked impossible. It's don't go by the appearances. Let go of what the appearances. And remember who you are. When you can get into that place where you can dream and the goals, that's when all the creativity's juices and that power to make them come true, that's when it happens. That's how people can come up here and give a miracle moment every Sunday. Sometimes it's the tiniest little thing. That's a little blessing. When I came in this morning, I saw something sparkling on the floor. I picked it up. It was just a tiny little faceted stone. Thank you, God. Thank you, universe. It's when you can be grateful for the little things, that's when the bigger things come. But the little things are the big things. It's looking at our blessings daily and discovering the beautiful power of who you are, I am, we are. God bless you all.